Okay, we can get ready for puja. Those who can help light the incense, let Suyan decide. Minjun. Lily and Minjun, yeah. Yeah, come and light. Sadhu. Yeah. We can all stand, get ready for puja. Light the incense. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the sadha, the faith. Then we will pay respect mindfully. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Can be seated. Then turn to page 4. We will follow the puja chanting on the puja book. We will start off with the Vandana, homage. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adina Dana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Kamesu Micchacara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Surameraya Majjhapamadatthana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the puja offering, starting with offering of light, Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadang Sena Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena Dopenahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyantang Pūcā bācāna muttamāṁ vannā gandā gunopetāṁ etāṁ kasumā santatīṁ pūjāyāme munindāsa sīrīpāda sarorohe pūjēme buddhāṁ kasumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anu kampang upadaya Patigang hatu mutamang. Then the page 18. Vivachanda Puja Aspiration. Understanding the significance of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give your pure respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, huh? Maintain some of our attention. Then we can have our meditation, huh? For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who need to train their mind, you can go ahead and train your mind. Then, for those who are still new, or still need instruction, I'll try to give you some simple instruction to train your mind. if your spiritual faculties are not there, then you need to train this mind. We will use the mind sweeping method, as you all have developed the understanding earlier on. For those who are totally new, you can get hold of this blue book just on your way out, where the meditation are all described there. It's on the shelf here. Then you can also, on the way out, choose whatever book you want. The one that beginner will like is the seminar paper that I deliver in Bangkok in the year 2013, about 2.5 years ago. That one can help you understand the teaching and develop the faith so that you know what this thing is all about. Okay, then for the other books, depend. If you find this interesting or something beneficial, then you can learn more by collecting the other books. They are very useful for you to understand the teaching, then develop the meditation. They are all for free distribution. You don't have to pay any money. Okay, so now we can off the light. Then you all can start your meditation, and I will give some simple instruction. Make sure you have a stable posture. You can sit on the floor, you see. If you cannot, you can sit on a chair or lean against the wall, it's up to you. Then relax body and mind. Make sure your entire physical body and mental states, they are in complete state of relax. Means you don't have problem. It's just like after a tired game, you are very tired, you want to relax. You just relax your body that way. Then after that, your mind, if it thinks a lot, it has a lot of what they call thought process. Then you can talk to the mind. Please do not disturb me and allow me to have the space to develop this meditation. Whatever that the mind wants you to attend to or think about, you tell the mind, not now. After the meditation, I will attend to it. For the meantime, please have mercy on me and allow this mind to have the space to develop this meditation. Then you close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight. Then breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then you maintain attention or awareness at your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. When you feel, you can detect many things. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within your forehead muscle, you just relax them all. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel them soothingly relaxed. Then you sweep the mind down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel. Relax all of the eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, you are quite tired. So you can learn how to release all this stress, so that you will become more peaceful, more calm. Then you sweep it down to feel your facial muscle, each and every strand of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax. Then you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. This is another skill for me to allow you to relax more naturally. When you can read it, a radiant smile, there is joy, there is happiness. Naturally, you will relax and your facial muscle will relax. Then you read it, love and metta, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You have to feel it. the well-being and happiness within your entire physical body, your entire being, and your mind, each and every cell of it. You feel the well-being and the peace within and the happiness. You can repeat one or two times, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you radiate this same metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can radiate the same metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Brother Suyan and Mifong's house, including all Kayanamita and Yogi, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. May the mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this metta to all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then the whole of our solar system, our galaxy and our Milky Way, and all beings within the whole of this universe, our entire universe, the existence. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they too be free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you silence everything. Return to your facial muscle and feel. Don't think, just feel. Then relax every facial muscle. Then you sweep it down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you move your attention to your heart or your chest area. Silence everything and just stay there. Feel. You can detect any vibration within or your heartbeat, then you just silence everything and stay there. If you are new, never mind. Just feel like you feel your forehead, feel your heart and chest area. Then you relax them all, each and every part of your heart area. You can detect any tension, any stress, or any tightness within. You just silence your mind and relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relax within. Then you move your attention down to your stomach. Feel the same. Relax, relax, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. jump on top, feel, relax. Then you can reverse this mind sweeping method from your buttock. Feel, relax, leg, feel, relax them more. Abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Then your heart or chest area, feel, relax. Then move your attention up to your facial muscle. Feel, relax them all. Then your eye muscle, then your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. You need to stabilize this mind state, the quiet, silent mind, which is peaceful and aware. So a good way is to make full use of an object of meditation to anchor that mind. I will teach you the commonly taught by Buddha, Anapanasati, to anchor this mind. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is training your mind to develop this mindfulness of the in and out breath. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of the nostril and feel the breathing. Then when the breath moves, your mind can be aware of it. Then like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Mind and the breath move as one without thought. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So the mind and the breathing is in perfect harmony and synchrony. You have to train this way. Initially, because you have not trained, you will come to realize your mind wanders off very fast. You cannot maintain attention at your breathing, your nostril, because you are not skillful, you have not trained. And the mind being heedless, think a lot, wanders off very fast. But be patient. Expect this mind to wander off many, many times. Every time it wanders off, you maintain attention at the nostril area to detect the breathing again. Then, as the mind detects the breathing, allow the mind and the breath to move as one. Means breathing in, away, breathing out, away. If you are patient, this mindfulness training will stabilize. Then not long, your mind will be very, very mindful of this in and out breath on its own. Then when it happens, you will experience a type of peace which they call piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy that arises when there is mindfulness, when there is no thought. This piti, when it arises, you will like to meditate because it's a very calm state. A spiritual calmness that comes with a peace within. Then you continue to relax and maintain mindfulness of this in and out breath. Piti will transform further into sukha, which is a spiritual bliss, more refined than piti. Then you continue to relax into it and continue to stabilize this mindfulness. Not long, the mind will enter stillness or pasati. Pasati is a tranquility state of mind. The mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, and very still, very tranquil. This tranquility, which is pasati, is the meditative mind, the silent mind. And this is the mind that can understand many things, that can meditate and develop a lot of understanding. So now you just continue to train. For those who already know how to meditate, and your spiritual faculty is already there, actually all this become very simple. You technically do not need to train this mind anymore. The moment you sit, you are already peaceful, you are already silent. Then you just relax body and mind and maintain that silent within. That silent mind will have the ability to come into contact with whatever phenomena that arise within the six senses. You will be able to witness many, many of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught within your mind state, within your form and mind, the six senses. You need to anchor it to the breathing and the anapanasati, you can. Then for those who are already more skillful, you can just relax everything and maintain the silence. The mind actually finally need not have any dwelling. It can just be peaceful on its own, silent. But initially it's good to have something to anchor it. It can be a subtle breathing, or if it dropped to your heart area, just stay there, relax and allow the silent mind to detect. There is a gateway where you will detect. Initially, you may feel the vibration or whatever prominent phenomena that arise. It can also be your heartbeat or whatever. But you silence everything, feel and relax into it. All this vibration, they will slow down, slow down, slow down, until it becomes very quiet, very still. Then when your mind reach that state, it is already in sati, and that mind state we call it pasati, which is the silent mind, meditative mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. You just silence everything and feel relaxed, then meditate from there. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. Now you can continue your meditation. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we will continue with our invocation to the Devasa, then the basics. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching of the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching of the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching of the doctrine.
Samantha Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavato Sumakato Bhagavato Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditadbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho ujupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Upayapatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Samicipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho Yadidang cattari purisayogane Atta purisa pugala Isa Bhagavato Sāvakasaṅgho Āhuneyo Pāhuneyo Dakkhineyo Anjalikaraniyo Anuttarang Puñyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu. Okay, we'll pay respect. Good to Bhajan. Bedang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. Just relax yourself, maintain some form of attention. Then we can proceed with our second session. Second session is your meditation reporting followed by Q&A. Anybody who want to ask any question relating to meditation, the teaching, you can make full use of this session to ask. Then like I sent out through the WhatsApp, I think there is one video which I sent out. How many of you have seen the video? Oh, so few, 2 or 3. Oh, it's quite an interesting video. This one, they talk about the Hindu teaching, which is based on the Vedanta and the Bhagavad Gita. Their explanation is quite unique because this Hindu teaching is very famous and has been very popularly accepted during the early days before the advent of Sakyamuni Buddha's teaching. Then later after Sakyamuni Buddha rise, through his enlightenment, he came to realize that the actual human being or form and mind can be understood in a totally different way. And that's the reason why I sent it out for sharing. I received it from one of the Tuesday class, Kayanamita. I think initially he find it very interesting where it talks about the three bodies and the soul. The Hindu teaching, they believe in the soul. Then they say from that there is another three bodies that cover the soul. Then they use this to develop the understanding of who they are, what they are. Then they try to meditate into it and realize the so-called enlightenment that they believe based on their teaching. So it's quite interesting, and they even talk about how you can explain why certain people can recall their past life and all those things. Because the three bodies, later on I will explain it. Then I will show it to you, the difference between the Hindu teaching and what the Buddha taught. And this is a very important understanding, so that when you have this understanding, you will be able to investigate on your own and find out for your own self. Who are you? What are you? Okay, now we come back to meditation reporting. Anybody who wants to report their meditation or ask any question, you can put up your hand or raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. Anybody? Pass the mic to Brother Pang.
Good evening, Brother Tio.
Okay.
And all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. This is regarding the 12 links.
Yes.
As I on a daily basis, try to relate back what we have learned and understand. At the moment of contact,
yes.
What happens like straight away? Becoming and birth.
Yeah.
Comes up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is it like, for example, you know, if we see something which, you know, somehow you don't like, and immediately the aversion comes up, and before you know it, it's already like you're already.
Yes.
Angry, or
you have become that. Yeah.
You have already become.
Yeah, the anger or
the,
whatever, or the.
You already have the anger state, okay, straight in your mind.
Or the emotion.
My question is, you know, how come it is like, it is like, bypass all the other links.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. You see, that's why the Buddha, when he explained all this, he used what they call simplified understanding. That's why he explained to you the four aggregates of mind. What can your mind do? What is the mind capable of? So these four aggregates of mind are very important for you to develop the understanding of dependent origination, because dependent origination is paticca-samuppada in Pali, or itta-paccayata in Pali. And there are 12 links to the whole cycle. But this 12 link presented in the teaching is single dimension. Actually, the way it arises is multi-dimension. So if you don't have that silent mind, you don't have the ability to be ever mindful, you cannot see it, you cannot realize it, you cannot understand it, because it happens so fast. Then like Brother Pang, he now, through his cultivation in the daily life, the moment he realized there is sense contact, straight away it's like he has become that. Because there is no way for you to have the ability to see the link. So in order to explain this, for those who are still not familiar, you may have to bear with us. I will write the link. This dependent origination has 12 links. It starts off with ignorant or avijja. This is ignorant. So the Buddha said, dependent on ignorant, it conditions what they call the next link, they call it sankhara. Sankhara, different teaching or different commentary, they explain it differently. So this one is actually the aggregate of mind, the third aggregate, sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity, mental state, everything that your mind can do. But certain teaching, they use the word karmic volition, because they couldn't explain the dependent origination without using this word, karmic volition. Karmic volition. Volition is chetena, your mental intention. But this sankhara is not karmic volition. This is mental activity, mental thinking. Activity or thinking. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Vijnanam is another aggregate of mind, the fourth aggregate. This is consciousness itself. Consciousness itself. Then dependent on this arise the five aggregate of form and mind, namarupang. We call it the five mental aggregates of form and mind. Then after that, dependent on this, arise the six sense basis. Basis, or they call salayatana. And dependent on the sense basis, there is contact. Contact in Pali is called pasat. Then dependent on contact arise feeling. Then feeling arise craving. Craving arise becoming. Then becoming condition birth. Hence arise the whole mass of suffering. Which is dukkha. So these are the dwellings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, sorry. Craving first. Sorry. Yeah, grasping. Grasping, I missed out one. Sorry. There is this grasping. After craving is grasping, sorry. Grasping, yeah. Grasping, after grasping, then only becoming. This one is called tanha. Then this one is upadana. Upadana. So they are all 12, okay? In the text, because they couldn't explain this as within the moment, the commentary, because it's an authority, they explain it over 3 periods of time. They say this ignorance is before you die. At the moment of death, there is ignorance, they say. And because of that, karmic volition, condition, rebirth, consciousness. So this one, the consciousness, they call it rebirth. Consciousness. Okay. After rebirth consciousness, they call this 5 aggregate, not the mental. They call it the human being. The human being is born. Means the first aspect of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. So this is the traditional commentary, explanation based on Hindu teaching. They got no other way of explaining it. Then they say because the human being is born, there is the six sense basis. And because of this six sense basis, dependent on it, there is contact of mind with the sense basis. Then upon contact, the first thing that arises is feeling, they say. But actually, it's not feeling arise. They are all there simultaneously. The 7 universal feeling is one of them. That's why upon contact, simultaneously, all this feeling, perception, everything arises, the 7 universal. So when feeling arises, if you don't have wisdom, upon contact, if there is no wisdom, or yoniso, Yoniso Manasikara. Means wisdom at the moment of sense contact. Yoniso Manasikara is wise attention at the moment of sense experience. If you don't have this at the moment of contact, then feeling will automatically condition craving. You cannot stop. You cannot cut at craving. Then craving will condition grasping. If your craving is very strong, you cannot develop the meditation, the third way that the Buddha teach, to silen your mind and allow craving to dissipate. Yeah. So this is the traditional explanation. Then they say because of that, you become that thing, that anger, that fear, that delusion or whatever. Then you take birth. With birth come old age, sickness and death. That's how the whole mess of suffering arises. But then you ask yourself, this one here is at the moment of death. At moment of death. If you explain it this way, to me, there is not much use. Understand? Where this type of dependent origination, they happen only once over three lifetimes. Yeah. Means there is one first life here, before the death consciousness. So upon death, at the moment of death, they say there is this karmic volition that condition rebirth consciousness. Then the human being is born. So this one is the second life. Okay? Second. Yeah. Then this human being have the sense basis, then contact, feeling and all these things. Then after that, again birth. That's why this is the third. And the reason why they explain it this way is because they got no other way of explaining it. They find it very difficult. Yeah. But then when I meditate, I realize it's not like that. I realize what the Buddha meant is, this avijja is not at the moment of death alone. This one that they explain is one of the possibilities. What the Buddha meant is the dwelling or dependent origination, paticca samuppada, is instantaneous. Instantaneous. You know what is instantaneous, eh? Happening within the moment, every instant. This dependent origination, the movement is there. Sometimes it's not complete dwelling. Sometimes it's the first dwelling. First dwelling is very, very common, especially in the heedless, the deluded one, the puttajana, the normal living being. This first dwelling keep on arising. So what the Buddha meant is a dependent or ignorant, dependent on avijja or ignorant a condition, condition, mental activity, sankhara. This one they cannot explain. But actually this one is very easy to explain. Here, ignorant means ignorant of what? Four noble truth is one of them. Ignorant of the truth, the Dhamma, the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are means ignorant of truth. And the four noble truth are the essence of truth, because they are the most powerful. If you can understand the form of noble truth, you can become noble one, enlightened one. So the three types of right views that the Buddha taught under Noble Eightfold Path. Right view with regards to karma. First is law of karma, karma niyama. Then citta niyama, law of mind, which is this dependent origination. Then the third right view is law of Dhamma, Dhamma niyama. That is where the four noble truth come in. Understand? So when you are ignorant of these three right view, you cannot understand how you function as a human. You cannot understand who you are, what you are. You cannot understand the phenomenal world. You don't understand life. Because these are nature's law that governs life and existence. So what happens is, if you cannot understand what you do, in school, what the teacher tell you, go back and think about it. That's why dependent on ignorance, wanting to know, and wanting to experience what you do, you think. That's why here is thinking. It's not karmic volition. Here is mental activity or thinking. What is thinking? The mind make contact at the mind level. Correct or not? That's why you think, understand or not? And your mind is an organ. Of course, you will argue with me. How can the mind be an organ? Understand or not? You got your five physical organs, which are your senses. Okay? Your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile. But this mind is your sixth organ, understand or not? This one is common to all. So this is the sixth. Organ. In inverted comma. And the spelling correct or not? Correct? Look very funny. Okay, your physical experiment, you remember? What happens is, upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Correct or not? This is positive. This is negative. Then the current flow through. Since our mind is also an organ, so upon contact, what happens? When you think, you make contact with the mind, what happens? Mental consciousness arises. Understand not? That's why this one, Vijnanang, is not rebirth consciousness. All these are wrong. Understand not? This one is pure consciousness before you input the content. This is Vijnanang before the content of consciousness went in. After that, when you input the content of consciousness, then it becomes the five aggregate of form and mind. Understand that? That's how Vijnanang Paccaya Nama Rupang. This is the correct way of explaining it. Because when I meditate, I saw this happen. But your mind has to be very, very well trained and developed. You must have continuous mindfulness, ever mindful. The stability of mindfulness has to be very stable. Your spiritual faculty has to be very stable. Then you can be at the moment of contact. Moment of contact means what? Avijja Paccaya Sankhara is also at the moment of contact. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because at the moment of contact, if it's ignorant contact, what happened? What happened? Without yoniso manasikara, this contact can happen anytime, isn't it? Can follow that? When it happens, if there is no wisdom, yoniso manasikara, means you have what? You have avijja, correct not? Correct not? Then what happened? This link also move, understand, huh? That's why it's multidimensional. It's not one dimension. That's why I realize in the meditation, I can be at the moment of contact. The awareness, the sati can stay there. Then the feeling that is also inside there, I can also be at the moment of feeling. And feeling remain as pure feeling because of this wisdom, uniso manasikara. It doesn't move at all. Then this one, no need to cut. Understand? It's like you say, let go. Who let go? The one who hold have to let go. Understand? If you don't have craving, it cannot move. That's why this link cannot move. That feeling become pure feeling. That's why non-grasping. Pure feeling. Or non-grasping. This one can follow. Yeah? This one is very important. That's why it's multi-dimensional. It's not one-dimensional. As long as there is no wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot stop feeling from becoming craving. When craving is there, you have attachment, you have grasping, you have delusion. That's why you cling, you hold, you give meaning. That's why Verapang says, very fast, you end up becoming that. But since some of you have developed the meditation, you realize the moment feeling becomes craving, you aware. Understand not? Under cittanupassana. Remember that? When the content of consciousness has this aggregate, or what they call evil roots of greed, you must be aware. That's why there is craving. You must be aware. The moment you are aware, what happened? The third way, the five way to overcome unwholesome thought, the third way, the moment you are aware without thought, this one cannot move. Understand? That's why it will flower. This craving will flower and cease to be. That's why it will never become grasping. It will not grasp and hold. Then it will not become that. But you have to develop wisdom through the fourth way. Develop the mindfulness to see the origination factor. It's always from one of the sense door. Then you ask yourself, how come every time sense experience come, this mind develop this dependent origination and get entangled? Means something is wrong with your understanding of phenomenal world. You don't have enough wisdom. You don't have uniso manasikara to see things as they are. You have not penetrated or insight into the characteristics of nature, their impermanent nature, suffering nature, and non-self or empty nature. Because you don't have all this understanding, that's why you cannot straighten your view. You cannot deal with all this dependent origination link. But the moment you develop the wisdom, then you realize it's your wrong view, your conditioning that stir your mind, that condition you into all this movement. Then what happens? You reflect, contemplate, and you straighten your view. Then the next time when you confront the same sense experience because you have straightened your view, it loses its potency to pull you and drag you. Then when you insight into phenomena and develop the wisdom, then it has no more power over you. You are not deluded by what the thought tells you, by the phenomenal. All of rupang, their characteristic, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, impermanent, suffering state, non-self, all very clear. That's why this movement cannot happen anymore. That's how you become enlightened. That's how you break free. And all this, because it's multidimensional, every time it's contact. Understand? That's why you cannot see because you try to use your thinking mind to see. You cannot. You have to develop the daily mindfulness until it's very stable, until you can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of arising of thought. Then later on, you can even see how you input the consciousness, the content of consciousness. And all this, it's possible if you have mindfulness. That's why the real dependent origination is different, not what you think. And because this one is so fast, understand not? That's why you say straight away becoming. It's not from here, come to here, understand? No? It's always from here, here start, here also start, understand? No? They are together, multidimensional. Okay? So now you understand. Luckily you asked. Because this one I have never described or explained because there was no condition. I mentioned it before, but I couldn't have the condition to explain it until today because Pang asked. That's why you must ask. Because the real dependent origination is not what people think. And they couldn't explain this. This first trilling, they couldn't. In fact, my teacher also couldn't explain that time. One of the teachers. So because of that, later on, when you meditate, when you have this ability to be mindful to that extent, and you have the insight or the awakening and the understanding, then all these links become very clear. Very clear. Then there is no delusion. Then you understand what actually happened. Okay? So you don't worry.
Thank you, Radio. Now, we can safely say that ignorance can be at every link.
No, every contact, if there is no ignorance. Wisdom, then ignorance is there. Every moment of contact, that's why you are seeing there is contact of the thing. The seeing, there is contact. Hearing, there is contact. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, there is contact. Every moment, every instant. And because it's multidimensional, that's why it moves from here to here very fast. This thrilling, pop, you reach it. That's why you become that thing. Then, because upon contact, there is avijja, you think somewhere inside there. And the more you think, your views, opinion come in and condition you to become emotional. Sad, happy, unhappy. That's why the five mental hindrance, like and dislike, sensual desire, keep on arising. That's why I realize living beings keep on creating mental hindrance that hinders them from becoming peaceful, mindful, aware, from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. And because of that, they cannot meditate. That's why in all of my 6 to 7 years of sharing with you, I always use that two essential Dhamma. Five mental hindrance and five spiritual faculty. Because without the spiritual faculty, you cannot cope with all this. It's only when your spiritual faculty has become so stable, especially they become ballast or power. That's why I help you to make aspiration through your puja offering. So that your spiritual faculty can become powers. And this is how the teaching can be understood. Okay? yes, Susan. Pass the mic to Susan. You come forward better, Susan. There is a lot of seat here. Yeah. Push it all the way out. It's on already.
Brittle?
Yes.
So, I just like
to... Yeah.
Understand in more depth.
Good.
So if there is presence of yoniso manasikara, whatever that arises through the sankharas,
yes,
it's just pure arising without the ignorance. Because you said that at the contact point.
You see, okay, I think I know what you want to ask. You got any other particular question?
For the moment.
Okay, I explain that one first. So, when you say you have yoniso manasikara, means what? Means there is no ignorance, no avijja. Then what happened? You don't continue this link, you don't go and think, you can arise a thought, which is non-grasping. You can perceive without delusion, without grasping. Then you can feel, but pure feeling, without grasping. then this sankhara can still arise. Understand now? Mental activity, mental state, or mental volition, or whatever. But because of the wisdom, it's not deluded. That's why it will arise the right thought. It will never go wrong. Understand now? But without this, it's impossible. Because this link is very active. Understand now? That's why every moment of sense experience, you not only think a lot, you get yourself entangled in that sense experience. You lost in that thought, preoccupied in that sense experience. That's why you can create a lot of story. So then get very emotional, angry, unhappy over what happened. Then sometimes you recall the happy moment, like all your good moments or what, or your younger day type of good experience that you have, like your initial year when you have your first infatuation with another person of the opposite sex, then you have some very good relationship or what. And then you recall that you become preoccupied with that sense experience and you become attached to those experiences. Then this craving is born. Then you continue it until habitual, then it becomes grasping. You grasp at it. It means you every time want to think about it. Every time you want to recall it. Then after that, you become that lust, that greed, and all those things. That's how it will cause transgression. It will condition you to act out of it. So when you act out of it, means what? You not only become that, you are born into that lust. That's how people commit rape and all those things. Or violent, like robbery. Yeah? Or they become violent. Then they acted out of it. That's how it become transgression. They transgress into the reality. And this birth is not the baby born. This birth is every moment, every instant. You are born into that state. At first, you become that emotion, that lust, that anger. Then when you acted out of it, you transgress it, then you are born into it. This is what the Buddha meant. This is not birth and death. That's why there is no three lifetime. It's always within the moment. Then when this happens, you become karmically affected. That's how the whole mess of suffering, and you read this, is always sorrow, lamentation, leading to grief, and all those things. Then all this will make you miserable, drain you. Your mind state becomes afflicted. And this is what suffering is all about. That's why the Buddha says, craving is the cause of suffering. Without craving, there is no suffering. And because of that, people try to be smart. They say, cut a feeling. Don't want to allow craving to come out. You try, impossible. If you have delusion, you cannot cut. It's just like you say, let go. Don't attach. Who attach? Deluded people attach. But the moment you have the wisdom, the yoniso manasika, the understanding, you are not deluded by it. So, what happened? There is no more craving. You cannot hold it anymore. You cannot desire it anymore. You understand it clearly. You got conditioned to arise. Then let it arise. If condition cease to be, it will cease to be. And then you can accord and flow. Understand? Then there is no more delusion, no more craving, no more problem with life. Then thing is just the way it is. Then everything is just like that. That's why you understand this is just form and mind for you to use. These are pure aggregates. If you are deluded, only it becomes grasping, clinging. And it arises because of ignorance, that condition, craving. The stirring of the mind and all this thing. Okay? Sadhu. Now give to envy. That's why when you have this inquiry mind, you will learn very fast.
Sadhu, right?
I would like to share that at every, wherever straight link or multi-dimensional
link,
any part of the channel link or reverse or whatever, when sati is there, it really helps.
Yeah, help
even
a lot.
Every step.
Yeah, yeah. You
will
you will understand and see many, many things. That's why you can have the understanding because you have sati. You can do the lying down pretty well already. Because last year at the retreat, you already can do it very well. So by now, your sati should have improved a lot.
So sati will help us.
Yes. That's why without sati, no way.
With pure feeling or with
Even
if craving come up, with sati, we'll stop it at that moment, right?
You actually no need to stop one because the understanding will not allow it to move. Because initially, when this thing happened as pure feeling, you are very stable already. But before you become stable, what happens is you still have habitual tendency. That's why upon contact feeling arrives, that straight away that craving still there. But then it cannot move because you already have the wisdom. This yoniso manasikara will come out and prompt you. Thing is just the way they are. Why are you so capable? Why you still want to go through like last time? Like Alicia saw. Suffered for 16 years already. Some will come and play the same trick. That's why you say enough. Stop straight away. Then after a while, when this contemplative wisdom and understanding and the realization stabilize and be very stable, then this one remain as pure feeling. Then your sati can stay there. It will not move at all. Yeah. Then you want to play with it, you can. But you don't have to do anything because that yoniso manasikara is very strange. You have means you have. You cannot learn one. You have to awaken to it one. The moment you awaken to it, it's with you, means it's with you. You don't have to recall to memory, hey, I must act like that. Brother Teo say like that. The Buddha say like that. That one is knowledge. No use one. And most of them say what? No. Anger is an evil root. I must not get angry. So what they do? They suppress the anger. They don't want to get angry. When people scold them, disturb them, tease them, or do anything with them, they just yawn. That one is not yoniso manasikara. That one is suppression. You don't want to react. You suppress your feeling. You don't want to let it come out because you think it's bad. But then, it bottles up. When it bottles up, what happened? Those who are science students, you know, it will burst. Then when it bursts, I tell you, you cannot stop it. That's why you say, don't make a lady angry. when they reach their threshold.
But it's just like when we have the initial wisdom or yoniso manasikara, we can aware that the angry feeling still arise, but we aware the anger
correct.
Is there.
That time,
and slowly it subside.
That time is not stable. That's why it will arise. Because these are habitual tendencies. You cannot overnight root it out. Then when it arrives, don't worry because the anger is not you. Understand? That fear is not you. Then this yoniso manasikara will prompt you. This understanding wisdom will come out and prompt you. Then tell you, hey, impermanent leading to suffering. Empty, non-self. He know you, he know me. Form and mind, form and mind. That's why that right view is very important. When you have straightened your view, it loses its momentum. Understand? Then you know the third way. You know how to meditate. Because when you can lie down and meditate, means you know how to silence. Means you have stabilized your spiritual faculty. Then at the moment of feeling, when even this craving come out, you just understand and just relax into it and silent. It ceases to be. It cannot move on. That's why this has to be done in the midst of life. Daily mindfulness. If you're in a form of meditation, a lot of people can do it. When you are in samadhi, when you are in a conditioned state of mind, in deep concentration, jhana, peace, and all, nothing can disturb you. They don't even want to come out. They want to abide within. So peaceful. That's why every time they got problem, they run to retreat center. Or they go back to become a hermit.
Gratitude to explain a bit from mental five aggregates of form and mind, namarupang to the six sense basis, salayatana. How is
it's very easy.
From mental to physical or?
No. You see, dependent on this five mental aggregate of form and mind, there must be sense basis. Understand or not? If there is no sense basis, this one cannot arise. This one cannot arise. Understand or not? This namarupang. Understand or not? That's why this link comes from contact. Understand or not? Upon contact, ignorant contact, then only all this come about. Understand? That's why there must be contact up there. So dependent on five aggregate of form and mind, this mental aggregate, there must be sense basis. Understand? Because from here, understand? This contact is where the sense basis is. Understand? So this contact, if there is ignorant, then all this will run. Correct or not? So when it run to here, the five aggregate, mental aggregate arise, due to what? Due to the sense basis here, understand or not? Otherwise, it cannot arise. And also due to your conditioning, your views, your opinion, the part that come in, that input the content, understand or not? Then this one has to be in place. Otherwise, all this link cannot happen. So dependent on this, the sense basis must be there. That's why the Buddha said, this six sense basis must be there. And because it is there, contact is possible. And when there is contact, if it is ignorant contact, this link will follow. That's why I say it's multidimensional. Yeah. Never mind, take your time slowly.
There are two contact, but there's
no, not contact. Two contact. This two contact is the same contact. Because every moment of sense experience, there is contact, understand?
Yes. My question is, upon contact, there must be consciousness, there must be vinyanang and namarupang, then only feeling can arise.
The feeling, perception, all the other seven universal, upon contact, they arise simultaneously. It's not one by one. Understand? Even the perception inside this sankhara, the moment you perceive, you recall through memory, then straight away it starts to react. Understand? That's why the thinking is very fast. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, then you straight away think. Due to your volition, your conditioning, your views, your opinion. It's from here that you input the content. Understand? That's why the seven universal already there, but then wholesome, unwholesome, based on your views and opinion and your conditioning, from here it throw inside this vinyana. Then it becomes namarupang. Before you throw this content in, it's pure awareness or pure consciousness without content. Understand not? It's just vinyanang. Understand not? The four aggregate of mind. Can remember? Vedana, sanya, sankara, the last one, vinyanang. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see before the atta come in, before the content come in. Then in the thinking, is only the thought consciousness, the pure vinyanang. Understand not? Before the content come in. That's why the Buddha always say, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, only this consciousness. The moment of contact, only this one, like up. But because of your avijja, you input through your wrong view, sankhara, you go and think and stir. That's why you throw this in and you become emotional, here to here, very fast, because of your wrong view, etc. Never mind, you better ask. Because this is very important. If you have not meditated, you wouldn't ask. That's why these people meditate. They know.
Okay, now I recall for contact to come up, you must have the six sense basis.
Yes.
The six sense object
yes.
and the six consciousness. So
the consciousness will arise simultaneously.
Yeah. I remember you telling that, you know, these three things must come together contact to happen.
That's why it's dependent originating.
Yeah.
Condition arising. Without all these three conditions, this one won't manifest. That's why it's not a permanent soul inside there that is responsible for your seeing, hearing, smell, taste. The Hindu think that, understand? They say there is a soul that is responsible for your seeing, your hearing, your smell. The Buddha said, no. There is he no you, he no me, no soul, nothing. It's just dependent originating. Everything is just dependent originating. That's why paticca samuppada. Or itta paccayata. Start to rain already. Yeah, this one very few people understand. Until today, I tell you. Past this.
She says, in being at this point, she said contact, and then she says awareness. If that is sati or awareness.
After feeling become craving.
At contact, if there's awareness, then she says that there's no feeling. But
No feeling. The feeling is already there. But whether you are aware of what, because awareness can be anywhere. It can be at the moment of contact, I used to share with you, or at the moment of feeling.
No.
You must have
alone is not enough.
Wait, I explain. You're off the thing. You see, upon contact, the seven universal arise simultaneously. That's why your sati can be at the moment of perception. Understand? No? At the moment of feeling, at the moment of contact, or at the moment of even whatever that arise. That's why sati is independent of the content. Understand? No? Sati is the awareness before the knowing. The knowing is the perception. But the moment that mind perceive, the awareness can be aware of that perception. Upon contact, before the thing come out, you see, upon contact, the seven universal arise simultaneously. It means perception, feeling, manasikara, everything is inside there, the seven years. These are common to all consciousness. That's why it's not after contact only a conditioned feeling. Actually, upon contact, all this manifests. The seven universal manifest. There is perception, everything. Then you can be at the moment of feeling because your sati is very stable. But normal human being cannot. That's why during the year when this form and mind transform, then when it has this stability of mindfulness, that's why I find the meditation very funny. I realize I can be at the moment of contact. I can be at the moment of feeling. And I can be at the moment of whatever activity that the mind do. And the moment I am silent, that's why I know there is this spacious awareness without a center. It can be one with everything. Then it can be at that specific phenomena, specific link. Yeah. That's why all this, don't write one, because no author has really understood it. So how to write? Cannot write. That's why you must meditate. You must develop the stability of mindfulness, the spiritual faculties. And then all this can be understood. Okay? Okay, then maybe we continue. Oh, 10 o'clock, I don't know whether I got time to do that one or not. Never mind, I try to play that thing for you all to listen. Those who haven't seen, I will put it on the mic so that you can listen.
What is the one thing that accompanies the soul after death? The amazing answer to this question sheds light on two important mysteries.
Can I hear?
Namely, what happens when we die and how is it possible to retain memory of our past lives? So let us dive in. Watching all the corruption scandals unfold in India, my mother often remarks, why are people blindly rushing to accumulate so much wealth, property and power? After all, none of these things will accompany them beyond death. And she's right. whatever be our cherished worldly possessions, those which we mistakenly use to determine our self-identity, such as our job, our wealth, home and car, even our bodily appearance, one day when we die, we shall have to let them all go in one clean sweep. We came empty-handed into this world, and empty-handed we shall go. However, while we cannot take our material possessions with us, there is one highly critical yet deeply overlooked thing which we do take with us when we die. This thing is our mind. And unless we have attained to samadhi in this life, our mind will accompany our soul after death in its journey onto the other side. This fact has been explained by Swami Vivekananda when he said, "This Atman or soul goes through birth and death accompanied by the mind." It is only because we are able to take our mind, the real storehouse of all impressions with us after death, that an unbroken continuity can be maintained between all our previous births and the current and future ones. But how exactly does the soul take the mind with it after death? The mechanics of this process have been outlined for us by the great rishis of Vedanta. These ancient sages of India witnessed certain fundamental truths about the nature of the universe in the advanced stages of meditative superconsciousness. These truths constitute the philosophy of Vedanta. One of the main tenets of Vedanta is that the soul of every human being is encased in three successive bodies. These bodies can be thought of as layers or shells that surround the soul. Swami Sivananda of the Divine Life Society equates this to when we put on three successive layers of clothing. The outermost shell is that of the gross physical body. This is the body we most commonly identify with, and it houses the brain and other organs. It is known as the sthul sharir in Sanskrit. Behind the gross physical body is an ultrafine, subtle or astral body, also known as the sukshma sharir or ling sharir in Sanskrit. This subtle body consists of the mind and its components such as intellect, memory, ego, etc. Because the subtle body is a carrier for the mind, therefore it is also known as a mental body. Now, one very interesting point about the subtle or astral body is that it appears as a dim vapor-like duplicate of the physical body, which cannot be seen by the naked eye. This fact has been revealed by Swami Sivananda in his wonderful book, Self-Knowledge. Behind the subtle body and forming the innermost layer is the causal body or Karan Sharir. The causal body is unmanifest, and therefore I have not drawn it because it cannot be physically represented. Finally, behind the three bodies, as the witness and ruler of them all, stands our soul or Atman, the source of consciousness. Now from this little discussion, we have seen that each individual or jiva in Sanskrit is comprised of four things: the real self, the Atman or soul, and the three successive bodies that encase the soul. Having attained to this knowledge, we are now in a position to delve into the process of death and rebirth. So what happens at the time of death? According to Vedanta philosophy, at the moment of death, the soul and the inner two cores separate from the outermost covering of the gross physical body, and the soul clothed in the subtle and causal bodies journeys on. Thus says Swami Sivananda, death is only a separation of the subtle or astral body from the physical body. Just as a person passes from one room to another, the soul passes from the gross plane of existence to the subtle. Now this subtle body or sukshma sharir, as we have seen earlier, is the carrier for the mind. Till a person is living, he or she is clothed in all three bodies and the mind is merged with the brain and body. But upon death, the physical body is shed, and as Swami Vivekananda has explained, the soul goes out and carries part of the mind with it. Furthermore, as both Vivekananda and Sri Aurobindo have revealed, it is our mind and not the brain which is the real storehouse of all impressions or sanskars. Everything that we have ever thought, every action that we have done, is lodged in the mind. In the lower layer of the chitta or subconscious mind, the impressions of all things seen, thought, sensed and felt are recorded. For this reason, even though the brain has been left behind at death, a lifetime of impressions or sanskars stored in the subconscious mind accompany the soul after death. What's more, since the same mind has been evolving and traveling with us from birth to birth, therefore the impressions of all lives past as well as those of the current one are stored in the subconscious mind. When the soul takes a new birth, this entire library of past impressions can potentially be accessed by the new brain, and in this way, it is possible to remember our past lives. Now, in the normal course of things, these past life impressions remain buried deep within the recesses of our subconscious mind, and therefore, most people are unable to recall their past lives. However, in certain special situations, such as when a soul reincarnates quickly without spending too much time in the subtle world, or through hypnosis, or through certain highly evolved yogic processes such as Kundalini awakening, it is possible to remember events from the immediate or some or even all of our past lives. One of the most famous verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which captures these possibilities, is when Lord Krishna tells Arjun, "Many births of mine have passed as well as yours, O Arjun. I know them all, but you know them not." Even Lord Buddha remembered many of his past lives, including the times when his soul was evolving through animal births. This brings us to the end of our presentation. Thank you so much for watching. If you have further questions in your heart surrounding God, soul, consciousness, life and death, then be sure to visit my website, The Spiritual Bee, at www.spiritualbee.com.
So you have heard, huh? Yeah. What is your understanding? This is the Hindu version. That's why they actually emphasize on the soul. It's just like this dependent origination. If they don't have a concept of the soul, they cannot explain recalling past life, everything. So to them, it's very, very logical. Understand what? But then the Buddha say, all these are anatta. There is no permanent, unchanging entity that you can call a soul inhabiting inside, that transmigrate. That's why people talk about reincarnation. What gets reincarnated? They believe there is a soul that continues. Yeah. But you have gone through life, you will know. It's not like that. If that soul continues, then that newborn baby, very young, he will be very powerful. He will understand many things. How come you got to learn and connect back everything? You agree, right? If let's say, this consciousness of mine, let's say, like what they say, there's a soul inside, then I retain all this through that subtle body, or what they call mental body, astral body, and the causal body. This one, he say, follow the soul, then it will reincarnate and take birth. I tell you, if this one take birth, the moment I am in that, let's say, another human birth, or better still, Deva. Deva don't have this gross physical body. Straight away, he will understand many, many things. He don't have to recall anything. But what we witness and we go through, we realize it's not like that. When the baby is reborn, it's just the rebirth consciousness, one very simple, pure consciousness. But this one, the Buddha say, is karmically conditional, understand? The imprint, everything connected to the law of karma, understand? That's why we, each and every one of us, we have this, what they call karmic nature. Because this one is recorded in the nature's law. That's why that law, karma, is a nature's law. It's a very, very powerful universal order. And all these are recorded there. It's not like what they say, storehouse of consciousness, because some of the Mahayana teaching, they also try to follow this, the storehouse of consciousness, the imprint. No, it's not stored inside that mind. That mind stored on is that segmented life one. That's why as a baby when you are born, it's just one rebirth consciousness, very simple, that crossover. That's why it doesn't know anything. Then the brain that is born through the fetus also, very pure, because there is no memory cells yet, no conditioning yet. Then later on, as he grew up, then he starts to inherit. And that's why the Buddha says, we are born of a the consciousness. This one is a human being. This human being is born of our karma, head of our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So that karmic nature actually supports this. Then they didn't talk about the life force, the karmic force that come and support this form and mind. They only talk about the three bodies. You can remember the three bodies? What are the three bodies? Some they even expand it to the seven bodies. But these are not important because when you meditate, you will understand. You see, according to them, he said there is what they call a soul. Soul. Within this soul, you have the causal body, then you have the mental body or astral or mental. Or they call it the mind body. Then this is the causal. Then they say there's another one, the physical body. Physical. This one is the physical body, okay? Physical body. So this physical body, this one we can understand. Okay? This part is actually not difficult to understand. But the assumption behind they make makes a big difference to the understanding. The understanding that there is a soul, permanent, unchanging entity, which they call the Atman, or the ultimate self, supreme self, or the true self. That one is a delusion. The Buddha said the unconditioned is also anatta. But they got a very good description of that Atman. But they fail to understand because they believe there must be somebody who owns that. So I read to you this part, which I got it from the internet. You listen, maybe I use the other. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. The eternal nature of the Atman, according to the Hindu teaching, who dwell within, in the central of the Upanishad. Upanishad is their highest teaching. And the Bhagavad Gita. This is the secret of the mystery of death and the key to understanding life. They say God pervades all and God is the Atman, eliminating our soul. The life of our life. Atman is everlasting, unchangeable, and therefore not subject to birth and death. Only that which is perishable is subject to birth and death. The perishable is therefore only to serve as a tool in the discovery of what is imperishable. Then they say, it is the body that dies, the garment that provides the covering for the soul on its visit to the worldly plane. The inner self remains unaffected. It does not and cannot die because it is eternal. This part is very good. As the Bhagavad Gita states, it is the unmanifest. It is not subject. It is not the subject of thought. And it is said to be incorruptible. Therefore, knowing it, it does not behoove you to grieve anymore. They also have this understanding, but they believe it is their ultimate self, Atman. Then he said, it is sad to lose what we care about in life. When someone we love dies, it is sad. Grief for that loss is inappropriate. Grief for that loss is appropriate, but that grief should not be prolonged. This is their belief. Excessive mourning is unhealthy. Grief should not consume a person, because loss and death are inevitable. That is why in some culture and religion, a time limit is put on grief. The rest is not important. So this is the part that I want you to develop the understanding. The main difference is they believe in the soul. But as far as this three body is concerned, they are quite close. The physical body is correct. Then this mental body is later on when it evolved. You know how this astral body or mental body develop or not? It's actually just consciousness. But because it is connected to our karmic nature and our true nature, there's another one. This one is our true nature, or the Buddha call it the Buddha nature, or the oneness nature, or the source. True nature, This one you can only connect and inherit after you have meditated and locate the gateway and connect back to your true mind or true nature. So what happened is they didn't understand these two. They couldn't connect. Then here, the karmic nature also, through this karmic nature, is sent karmic force or life force. Life force, or what we call karmic force. Life force or karmic force. So this is the one that actually causes your heartbeat to pump. This is the one that animates this human being. The physical body must be in the functional state, like the analogy I give you, the car and the driver. The mind is like the driver that drives the physical body, that instructs the physical body. Then there is the third one, which is the karmic force. Any of these three, not there, the human being ceases to be. That's why they say death. And they also know upon death, the physical body separate from the consciousness. The consciousness has this, the outer layer, which they call the astral or mental. Actually, this mental is what I call the random of consciousness. Understand? And this random of consciousness, I have to explain to you how it come about. Whereas we go through life while young, we learn the conditioning. Understand? Our parent teachers or our guardian teachers, Papa, Mama, then they send us to different school, different culture. So all this conditioning, all this what they call culture, belief system, the education, the news media, and everything that you actually learn or develop through life, they become like accumulated as a bundle of memories. So this bundle of memories, together, if it is content, they actually become what you are. You are defined by this collective mental content. That's why I call this the you, the I, which is the false or the fake one. And this is not the true you. So the Buddha divides this into mind and body. He called it the five aggregate of form and mind in order to develop easier comprehension of who you are, what you are. So they didn't actually break down the mind. They just call it the one that has the intellect, the accumulation of all the what they call experiences, the sense impression, everything. Yeah. But there's a lot more. Your phobia, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, all of your psychological things, they are all accumulated within. That's why this mind, when it don't have wisdom, when it's deluded, it can go into depression. It can have fear, worry, anxiety. And this can be like phobia that is unreleased. Then it becomes dormant, lay dormant as subconscious or the unconscious. Then it can be triggered off when you go into deep sleep. When you try to rest, then your conscious mind, the lower mind, the conscious mind, they get switched off. Then you manage to access the subconscious and the unconscious. And all these are content of consciousness of that segmented life. But the Hindu believe this part, which is not what the Buddha taught. They draw this. Let's say all these are your segmented life, huh? Segmented life. Then they say these are all your past life, huh? Past. Then this is, let's say, your present life. Present. Then all these are your future. Means every of this square is a segment. Every of this square is a segment. So they say what happened is they believe in a soul. After the soul is the causal body, then they have the mental body, then they have the physical body. So upon death, he says, this physical body is gone. So this one, they take away. This physical body is gone. Then you are left with the causal body. This is your causal body. Then there's another one. They call it the mental body or astral body. This one is the mental body or astral body. They say this whole unit, they transmigrate life to life. Understand that? That's why there is so-called the soul reincarnate, carrying all your this mental body and all this thing. Because only then they can explain about recalling past life, everything. But the Buddha said, no, there is no soul. This causal body, you have to have a form and mind that only you can connect. The causal body, that's why they don't draw. They say it's the unmanifested. Actually, that is your true mind. Understand now? That is your pure awareness before the knowing. That is the one that can be responsible for direct seeing. And this is the one that caused the arising of the conditioned arising mind. That's why I used to ask you all, if feeling is not you, perception is not you, consciousness is not you, mental activity and all those mental states, if they are not you, how come they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? Because all these mind states, they are conditioned arising. That's why it's not you. they arise and they pass away, you're still around, understand or not? Understand or not? But all this conditioning, you hold on to as memory, understand or not? And what is memory? Memory is your brain, understand or not? That's why thought is respond to this memory. Without this memory, you lose your identity, understand or not? That's why those who have this stroke of the brain, they forget who they are. Yeah. Depend on which part, right brain or left brain, because it's the creative and the intellect. So all this, they didn't explain. Understand or not? That's why the Buddha knew. So this, together with the consciousness that from one becomes so sophisticated because of your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your phobia, your accumulated fear and all those things, then of course if you meditate and connect, then your wisdom, your understanding, all these things will support you and understand this clearly. That's how all your fear, worry, anxiety, all your delusion all will be rooted out. Understand? Then this mental body become pure aggregate for you to use. Understand? Feeling become pure feeling. That's why the arahant's aggregates are non-grasping. Now you understand. So this is how it functioned. Because when I went through, I realized all of that. There was no soul, nothing inside there. Although there is an ego, there is a personality. Understand? The atta, the I and the me. That is born of delusion. Understand? That one is the cause of craving. That's why that one will delude you and cause you to identify with this form of mind, thinking that it's you, and you want to own thing and have thing. That's how the greed, the possessiveness, the emotional negativity, the fear arise. Because of this personality, this egoic mind, this wrong view, this self-delusion, psychiatry. So the whole teaching is actually very different. There is nothing to transmigrate. Upon death, you can listen to the Tuesday class on, because no time. The difference between a bodhisattva, an enlightened being, and a non-enlightened being, how they die. Yeah. One die with ignorance. Then straight away, rebirth consciousness take place. The other one don't have ignorance. They parinibbana. Yeah. Then they don't come to this world through ignorance, through rebirth consciousness. They come through pure consciousness, through their love and compassion. Yeah. That's why they have their vows and all those things, and they know how to come. Yeah. So all this, you will listen to the Tuesday class. Huh? So 10:30, we better end. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Today you are more interesting. Huh? Yeah. Can. Use the mic. Use the mic. You realize or not, suddenly all very quiet.
Prithio, that is why when we read about the arahants,
yes,
they do not have the karmic, it's only functional for the arahants.
Correct. That's why they have this five aggregate of form and mind, which is non-grasping. They will know how to use it. They are not deluded by it. That's why this is called the functional body that performs the function of the human being. And for the Buddha, it performs the function of a Buddha. Like this form of mind now, yeah, you call Brahmatio, it performs the function of this segment of this nature's life, understand? Which you all call Brahmatio. But this is not me, understand? This is condition arising, karmically conditional for this nature to come, to do its duty, to understand and share whatever experience. Then at the same time, of course, it can leave, understand? And even though it's impermanent, condition arising, causal phenomena, not surreal, everything. But there is such thing as life. That's why I've been using this for my mind for the past 26 years, coming to 26 years. And it's so beautiful. Every moment, every instant is so beautiful, so meaningful. That's why you can understand and realize the pristine beauty and wonders of nature. Okay?
Just a quick one. This true nature,
yes,
Radio has been sharing with us that is never born, never die.
Yeah, it's and the unconditioned.
Unconditioned.
It's oneness. Nature. It's the source of all things. That's why, bản性, bản lai
that means.
This
true nature.
It's anatta. It's not you, anatta.
It's unconditioned, anatta.
It's not a being inside there.
It belongs to nobody.
You can never describe it because it is the unborn, unconditioned. Means it was there all the while.
All the while.
It's
just up to individual.
No, it is like the Tao. Nothing is apart from the Tao. Everything arises from there. And everything returns
to there.
That's why zero, empty. No addition, no subtraction, nothing.
So when Brother Dio said connect to the true nature.
How
does it connect?
Before this, you connect to the. When your mundane mind is silent.
Okay.
You see, this is the mental body, isn't it? This is the chatterbox. This is the thinking mind, mundane mind, condition arising. And when this fellow sees, then your true nature shines forth. This causal body is the one before the arising. Surangama Sutta describes this. Primordial darkness. Understand? That created the first thought of ignorance that come out and form the mental body that follow coming. Then this one evolved into the coming nature. Yeah. That's why you need a vehicle to come. Without this vehicle, the form and mind, you cannot connect. That's why only this vehicle can connect. Nature is like that. That's why the Bodhisattva, the Buddha, they understand this secret. That's why they know how to come. That's why I always say, you have to come, you got no choice. Karma condition. But you choose to come, you have a choice. You understand. So Chu Yi was telling me, wow, that is very nice. I can choose to come. Not up to you to choose.
And then, right there, this true mind is eternal, right? It's eternal.
You cannot say it's used to describe as the unborn eternal life because it's never born, never die. But you cannot describe it. Understand not? You don't try to comprehend it because it's the unconditioned. It cannot be described in terms of words or whatever. That's why, like the Tao, he said, whatever that can be spoken, described, or talked about is not the true Tao. And then, after that, he tell you nothing is apart from the Tao. Everything also the Tao. So how can you understand? Because everything arises from there. Understand not? But whatever that arises is condition arising. That's why it's not the true Tao. Understand not? But nothing is apart from the Tao because from there everything arises. Understand not?
And then right there, this true nature is equivalent to Nibbana.
Not only equivalent to Nibbana. Without Nibbana, you cannot realize it. And it's not something that the mind can touch. That's why it's called the unconditioned. The Buddha said, if it's not because of the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. That's why it's called the Buddha nature, the oneness nature. The Buddha nature is the fully enlightened nature. Understand? That's why it returned to the source of all things. That's why the Buddha is the omniscient, the almighty, that can understand everything that is been manifest from there. That's why they nowadays use the word which the scientists also realize. You go and read Stephen Hawking. They call it a singularity. They realize now all this, what they call at a subatomic level. So finally our universe will collapse back, like the black hole that happened. Collapse back until a singularity. This is where it originally started, like the Big Bang. But all these are the miniature of the whole creation. That's why all this black hole, you go back to the singular. Then they can do mathematical calculation back to the first moment before life begins for that world system. How the Big Bang starts. Then how it becomes the expanding universe and all that. Then how later on when it will collapse, then it will converge back into the black hole. How it becomes so dense. He has worked out the formula. He tried to formulate the unified theory that Einstein cannot do it. He almost got it, except he missed out one thing. He cannot understand consciousness. Consciousness is a missing link. He has discovered gravity, electromagnetic force, quantum physics forces, and all the scientific field. They already penetrated. But there is one more thing. Consciousness, they cannot penetrate because they don't meditate. And consciousness is very, very powerful, ultimate. That is the one that can travel faster than the speed of light. That is the one from the unmanifest. It can manifest. Because it holds. From here, everything comes about, understand not? That's why it has the whole library of this thing. One of my teachers told me, this one I heard on, he said, when you reach that omniscient, in Sama Sambuddha state, there is this universal library, universal, cosmic, where you can access and you can understand. Whatever you want to understand, he called it the micro dollar. The electronic engineer has discovered it or not, the scientist. He called it the micro dot. No, I haven't heard of it before. No, he said this micro dot is like the singularity. Whatever you want to know, you can know about the history of the universe and everything, and every individual. That one I don't know. That one I haven't experienced. I only heard about it. But I tell you, Sama Sambuddha had that ability. That's why when you become Sama Sambuddha, you are very different, I tell you. You are very different. And this is not something that you can comprehend. That's why it's mind-boggling. Oh, sorry. 10:40 already. We better end. Oh, you all want to? Next day. After New Year. After New Year. Yeah. That's why you all must ask questions. Last time I hinted you already. Before this form my mind, no more. Whatever you want to know, you better ask. Whatever I can understand, I will share with you. But if you don't ask, after this one gone, you want to ask. It's very difficult already. Then you have to meditate yourself, penetrate yourself, and understand yourself. But while this form of mind is still around, you can ask. And it can be very interesting. That's why the real true teaching, the Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma, is very, very penetrative, very beautiful. And all this, not until you are in this field, not until when you have penetrated it, you can never understand. And to a lot of people, it's like fairy tale. I ask you, what I share with you, you can find in any book or not? You cannot, I tell you. Because this type of understanding is very, very rare. Very, very rare. Okay, we better end. Sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share this merit and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha hito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make expression. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha. Then we will end.
I'm making an announcement on behalf of Sister NB. There's going to be a Samaneri program later this year, right, in July, and she needs helper to help wash the nun's robe and also mattress cover. So any volunteers? There's no rush, you know, the program is going to be in July. So please see Sister Lily or me, because there are a lot of robes to be washed. Thank you.
The other thing is there's going to be 60 Dutanga forest monks coming through to SJBA on March the 1st, which is Tuesday. So 60 of them coming through, so there'll be a lot of puja and Pindapat and also we need volunteers, so if you have the time, right?